Man, I tell you what, today I'm excited to share this message today. I'm going to preach on peace. How many of you guys know that our world needs peace? Amen? How many of you guys need peace in your lives? There's times where I feel like I need peace in my life, and so I'm excited to share this message today, peace on earth. And as we look around, and I don't know about you, but there are times where I can let the Christmas season get the best of me. There's times where I can let the Christmas season be a little bit overwhelming, a little bit stressful, especially when you're quarantined during the time that you should be out buying presents or putting up decorations or whatever, and you can't do some of those things, and you feel like you're behind, and when are we going to do this, and when are we going to do that, and some of those things are good, and they're fine. You know, a lot of traditions that we have as a family, it's like, you know, we're kind of like, when are we going to make cookies, and when are we going to go look at lights, and when are we going to do all these things? And what I'm saying is that there's times during this season where all those things that we do around Christmas, those things we do to celebrate the birth of Christ, can bring us great stress, can bring us great disappointment, can bring us some confusion, some arguments, and all those things. And so we need peace. We need to come back to the remember the true reason for the season. Bud and I were talking the other day, and it's like, you know, all the things that we do for Christmas, you know, I hope that in a Christian home that those things all point to Christ. And you know, you can find a thing, you know, the light, Christ is the light of the world, right? So lights are good. That's fine. If you think about the star on the top of a tree, that's a snowflake. But normally if a star is on top of a tree, you know, you think about the star that the wise men had followed to find Christ. And you look at all these different things. It's great the ways that we celebrate Christ. You know, you can do things like ugly sweater, which, by the way, this sweater is not at all ugly. It is very, very good looking sweater. This is what my wife calls a Neil sweater. We don't have any Neils in here, so I feel fine saying that, but if you're familiar with the Santa Claus movies, the stepdad, Neil, the psychiatrist, wears these very extremely attractive looking sweaters in every scene. And so she got me this nice Neil sweater, and I decided to dress it up for you guys. So I did this just for you. But you can do things like this as we celebrate the birth of Christ, right? We can have fun. Is it okay for Christians to have a little bit of fun? You know, Christians don't have to be fuddy-duddies. We don't have to be boring. We don't have to be... Listen, there's a difference between being like the world and having fun, right? You can have fun and still not be like the world. We don't have to have a drinking party to have fun. We just wear stupid-looking sweaters. Or, I mean, you guys. I'm wearing an extremely attractive, nice-looking sweater. But as we celebrate the birth of Christ, as we go through this season, it just reminds me that even we as believers can find ourselves in that place where it seems like peace is missing because we're so stressed out or worked up. And I want to bring you back to a promise of God. Church, there's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like reading it, declaring it over your lives, of remembering the truths of what God said. Some of what we sang this morning. You know, if God said it, that it's true. You guys know that if he said it, it's true. You know, if he said it, that like it will come to pass. You know that if he said it, there's nothing that can come against it, nothing that can defeat it. And I think we need to remember to get into the Word of God when we find ourselves in these places. But Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to go back to this old prophetic word about Christ before he came to earth. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These words spoken by the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah to come. You got to remember that this was 700 years before the birth of Christ. And if you ever don't really think about that, if you don't do the math or look up how long it was, just think about that. 700 years. I mean, how many of you guys think that your life has been pretty long so far? Okay, how many of you think 2020 has been really long so far, like 700 years. Like this would have been like if he said it back in 2019, 700 years ago. But it was a long time. There's a lot of time that passes in between here, but he speaks this prophetic word about this miraculous birth. And if you could imagine the people of Israel, the excitement as they're thinking about, man, look at what kind of child this will be that will be born. Sounds pretty impressive, like a pretty good list of qualities and characteristics. And I think that Isaiah proclaims more than just that Christ would be the Messiah. See, he proclaims more than just the fact that he's going to be Savior, because how many of you know that Jesus is so much more than just Savior? Now, hallelujah, I'm glad that he's Savior. I'm thankful for that part, because without that, I don't think the rest of it really matters too much to us. But look at the depths of the description of who he is. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about watching a fight. Not like a fight like in high school, like I'm talking about like a fight like you pay to watch, a boxing match or an MMA match, and you got these guys that come out and they announce the fighters, right? And they're not just like over in this corner is Jason, you know? It's like they don't just go simple like that. They get hyped up, but not only that, but they give a pretty long, lengthy, crazy description of what this guy is like, right? Like if you're to watch Conor McGregor fight, you know, they're not just going to be like crazy guy from Ireland, right? They're like, now out of this corner over here, fighting out of Dublin, Ireland, former UFC welterweight champion, former UFC lightweight champion, the pride of Ireland, the one, the only, the notorious, and you're like, are they done yet? Conor McGregor, right? I mean, they announce him, they build it up, they throw all this stuff out. What are they doing? They're not just hyping the crowd. They're not just hyping up the fighters. They're trying to draw your attention to see something beyond just his name. They're trying to show you what is his history. What is his legacy? What do people say about him? What do people declare about him? They're trying to show you the depths of who that person is, his reputation, his accomplishments. And I see that as Isaiah reveals to us the son that is going to be born, the son that is going to be given to the world. He's wonderful, right? He's Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's more than a savior. He's going to have a legacy unlike anybody else that we ever have seen. And he does. Amen? You guys know that there is no, I mean, you take the church out of it, take Christianity out of it, there's nobody that more stuff has been written about besides Jesus, even if you throw the Bible out. There's more history written about Jesus than any other person that has ever walked the face of this earth. Jesus, wonderful counselor. You know what's great about that? It shows us that his word is true. He is the word. It is true. He's perfect beyond human wisdom, beyond anything that we can come up with. He's mighty God. Guys, listen, he's the one true God. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Amen? He's the only way. He's the true God, the mightiest. If he's the mighty God, right, he's the champion of every battle. He's the hero of every story. We think about him as the everlasting Father, right? He always, think about this, he always was, always will be, right? He is right now. He's always been everlasting, right? He loves us with that fatherly love. You know what's great about that fatherly love? It's why he protects us. He leads us. He always will. And then it says that he's the Prince of Peace, which is where I want to focus on for a little bit this morning. Think about that. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. How badly in chaos right now does our world need peace? It's been, not just has this been a long year, but it's been a chaotic year, hasn't it? Just a lot of crazy stuff where you're like, are you serious? Like, what is possibly going to be next? And we think about what our world should look like. Has anybody got an idea of what they think the world should look like? I mean, you kind of got a picture in your mind, like, it'd be like, this is what it'd be like if the world was peaceful, right? No war, We wouldn't have any violence. We wouldn't have any hate, right? That would eliminate half of what happened this year. If there was no hate, if there was no violence, right? If there was no war, it would have eliminated the majority of what we've seen go on this year, and that sounds pretty good. And I imagine that the people back in the days when Jesus was born thought a lot along those same lines. Man, it would be great. It's going to be great when the king comes. It's going to be great when we finally have peace. This was part of the disappointment. You know, this is part of the reason why Jesus ended up on the cross, is because he didn't bring peace in a way that the world wanted peace. He didn't bring it in the way that they wanted peace. He didn't come on the scene as an earthly king in the way that they thought that he would and destroy all of their enemies. And we think about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Did he come in peace? I mean, we read the stories about his birth, about, you know, the scene at the manger, and, you know, it seems like a pretty peaceful night. Seems like that night was probably pretty good. If you guys weren't here for Brett Hollis, I mean, he kind of mentioned that he really didn't think it was a silent night, right? I mean, if you've ever been in a room when a baby's been born, it's not usually too silent for about any party there, except maybe the dad, because he's white as a ghost or laying on the floor or whatever. But you know, that night was probably pretty peaceful as Christ had come. Look at what the angels told the shepherds when they announced the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's the proclamation as Jesus is born. Peace. Peace on earth. And I wonder whether people are like, when does the peace start? Right? Where is this peace that you speak of? Have you ever read that and you wonder about, you know, the angels are like, "Do not be afraid." These shepherds were watching over their flocks by night. It probably was pretty peaceful, right? I mean, if I'm out in the yard and there's not coyotes killing something in the woods over here, which happens way more frequently than what you would ever guess, if that's not going on, it's generally really peaceful out here in the evening to just stand out in the yard, listen to the cars on the interstate. Sometimes if that's not too loud, you can hear, you know, hear nature. But you imagine these shepherds there, and it's probably pretty peaceful already until this angel shows up. "Do not fear." Okay, well, that made me scared right there. You just started it off with a little bit of fear, and he says, but here's the thing. There's going to be peace on earth, guys. Go find the baby. There's peace on earth. It's coming. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I thought he was the King of Kings. He's the Prince of Peace. A prince is a ruler of a principality, of a region, of an area, of a zone, a specific defined area where a king rules a kingdom. So Jesus, how many of you know, he rules a kingdom, the kingdom of God, which one day will be upon this earth. How many of you know that he's also the Prince of Peace? That means there's a specific dominion, a specific space, defined area, where he also is the Prince of Peace. You guys want to know where that area is at? So we can all move there, right? We can all go there. It's right here. Not necessarily upon the earth, upon the people of God. Upon the people of God. See, he rules upon the people of God, and he has dominion to bring peace to every single believer, no matter the circumstance. He's the ruler of peace. This is his defined area of rule, the leader of peace, the overseer of peace, because Jesus is peace. And where he is, there's peace. Okay? I saw this story the other day. There's a lot of ways we try to find peace in our lives sometimes. And I saw this story where a guy was saying that his therapist told him, there's an easy way for you to find inner peace. And so he said, you need to finish what you start, and you'll find inner peace. And he thought, well, that's very interesting. So he's like, so that day I proceeded to eat two entire bags of chips and an entire chocolate cake, and I felt better already. Like, it was like, bam, it worked, you know. But isn't that the kind of things that we do? It's like, you know, okay, yeah, that's how I find peace. Yes, I'll try that. And, you know, listen, I've tried eating a whole cake to find peace. Listen, this is what it causes. Upset stomach. I'm not going to sing the whole song, the Pepto-Bismol song, but you know what else it mentions. Upset stomach. Right? Anybody else know? Okay. So you don't want to eat a whole chocolate cake, but we seek those things of the world like, well, what can I do to find peace? How can I find that? And is this the best that we can do? Eat ourselves to peace? I mean, listen, you can try it. It's not going to work. I'm just telling you, no matter how good it is. But it's impossible to have peace without Christ being present in our lives. That's where we've got to come to. It's impossible to have peace without Christ being present in our lives. I'm going to show you that in the Word so you know I'm not just making it up. John 16:33. Jesus speaking, he says, these things I have spoken, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Where do you have peace? In him. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Man, I'm going to do that in like eight different voices if I don't get this taken care of. All right. Is this my normal voice? These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He says, in the world, you'll have something else. Does he say you'll have peace in the world? No. You'll have tribulation. Tribulation. Some problems. Some difficult days. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And in me you have peace. Right? It's that you got to go back to him. It has to come back to Christ. In him we have peace. The world will produce war. The world will produce violence. The world will produce hate. But Jesus produces peace. Jesus comes to bring peace. He comes to bring peace. Here's the deal. Our problem is that he didn't come and bring peace the way that we expected peace, the way that people expected peace, because we want world peace, right? We want everybody to just get along. That's usually the question. If, you know, in a pageant or whatever, if there's a question and you don't know the answer, what do they say to try to get everybody's vote? World peace. I just want world peace. And they proceed to just spill out a bunch of garbage that doesn't even make sense, and then they say world peace again, and that's all people remember. And they're like, oh, that was a lovely contestant. She wants world peace. We'll vote for her. That sounds great. That's what we all want. I read a study of the last 3,500 years of history. It said that there was 286 years of peace. 286 out of over 3,500, less than 8% of the time. And what's worse, during that same period of time, there were over 8,000 peace treaties signed. And yet there was only 8% of those years that were full of peace. Jesus has come, but world peace has not. But why? He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 12, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. And that's a great statement from the Prince of Peace, right? Do you suppose that I came to bring peace? Me, Prince of Peace? Nope. I came to bring division. The purpose of Jesus' miraculous birth wasn't to bring world peace in the way that we think of world peace. His mission was never to get peace all the people in agreement on their worldly standards to just be nice to one another and be peaceful in that manner. Because we actually had that at one point back at the Tower of Babel. When the people were all at peace, they were all in unity with one another, but not with God, and they tried to become like God. They tried to build their way to heaven so they could be on the same level as God, and God did what? Separated them. He scattered them. He's like, no, this is not what peace is like. This is not what you need. This is not good for you. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. He came to bring division on earth. In Matthew, he says he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Wow. It's a pretty nice, impressive image of the Prince of Peace now. I mean, if you're a prince, I suppose you do have to have a sword, right? I mean, it just seems fitting. All the movies, the princes always have some kind of sword. But he didn't come to bring world peace in the way that we know it. He goes on to tell us that even in your family, you're going to have mother against daughter and son against mother and brother against sister and all these things. There's going to be division when Jesus comes. Why? Why? Because the division is between the people who choose God and those who don't. It's those who are born again and those who are not. See, when you're born again, you can understand the things of God because they're revealed to you by the Spirit. If you're not born again, you don't understand those things yet. We're not talking about a mental, a logical understanding. We're talking about change in your heart, in your spirit. And so there's division that comes from that. He came to win people over from darkness into the light. And if we choose to follow him, listen, our life has to change. Amen? Our life has to change. How many of you know when your life changes, it causes you some division in your life? It causes some people to get upset with you. It causes some people, why? Because they don't understand. Don't get upset back, right? We have the presence of Christ. We have peace, right? You can move forward and still love and still care for them. Maybe this makes you question the whole Prince of Peace thing. You're like, man, that does not sound very good. Why would I want division even in my own family? I think when we get down that kind of path, it's because we're not looking at peace biblically. We're looking at peace from a worldly standpoint. I want no wars. I want no hate. I want no fighting. I want no Republicans, Democrats, everybody just to believe the same thing and go the same way and do it the way that I want, and we're good. Everybody will be at peace. But peace here in the Hebrew is the word shalom. Say shalom. It's a fun word to say, isn't it? You see that word often in the Psalms, it's mentioned. This word, you've probably heard it many times, but there's an aspect of peace from war and violence. That's a little bit of a peace. You know, a word can have a pretty lengthy definition, but this truer meaning of the word peace, this shalom, is completeness and soundness. Completeness and soundness. So if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, if he is peace, if you have peace in him, he's the ruler of this completeness and this soundness. And so I want to show you what those things mean real quick here. Complete. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. Like, if it's complete, you have all the parts, right? If it's complete, it means it's not lacking anything. It means that it's whole. It means that it's full. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "For in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." You guys see that? You're complete in him. You have peace in him, but a part of that is that you're complete in him. If you're complete in him, then you have all the parts, right? You are lacking nothing. You are full. You are whole in Christ. This peace isn't world peace. It's personal peace. It's personal. It means I can have peace. You know what? The world is not very peaceful. But that doesn't mean that we can't have peace in the midst of an unpeaceful world. We want God to just change everything. Just make everybody peaceful. How many of you guys love the idea of God imposing his will upon other people? It's great, isn't it? Not me. Let me do what I want, but I want you to impose your will on everybody else and make them peaceful, make them behave. But see, that's not the way the kingdom of God works. The way the kingdom of God works is Christ in you, hope of glory. The way the kingdom of God works is Christ in you. You know what? I can bring peace to you. And if everybody would accept the peace that is in Christ, then we would see everything changed. But it always starts with a, what about me? Yes, I will receive your peace today, God. See, when we have everyone else get along and we're not changed, guess who is still going to be lacking peace? Guess who's still going to be miserable? Guess who's still going to be the primary part of the problem in your world? It's going to be you, still. Even if everybody else was at peace, but you were not, you're still going to be the part of the problem, and you're still going to be empty. We don't have world peace because people are walking around without freedom from sin. Jesus came, born of a virgin, died on a tree, and was raised to life so that you could have peace. You, say me. That's you to have peace. Don't worry about everybody else. We're always worried about other people. All right, remember when Peter was like that? He asked about John. He's like, well, what about him? Like, what's it going to look like for him? Because Peter just found out that he's going to be crucified upside down. What about John? What are you doing with that guy? And Jesus is like, don't worry about him. Right? What's it to you if he lives until I come back? It's none of your business. Peter, worry about Peter. We've got to get in that spot where we worry about us. Because Jesus came and died and was raised to life so that you could have peace. See, it's got to be received person by person. Without the sacrifice of Christ, we would all still be enemies of God. If we're enemies of God, you know what? We possibly could get along together, but we still would be lacking peace. First, we have to have peace with God. Sin separates us from our Creator, and we need to be reconciled by the shed blood of Christ. That's why he paid his sins, paid our sins, paid the price by reconciling us, right? That's to bring back together with God. You know, this peace is a piece of knowing God. This peace is a piece of a restored relationship with our Creator. Think about that, the one who made you. Restored relationship, friendship with our Savior. You know the old song, I am a friend of God? Right? I'm a friend of God. How amazing is that? Why are we a friend of God? Because he died and rose again for us, and then when we accept his peace, he calls us friend. How many of you guys got that person that you're friends with, but they're not friends with you? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe they're friends with you, but you're not friends with them. See, Jesus actually calls us friend. He says, I want to be your friend. Will you accept my friendship? We receive that. We have peace. This is where we're made whole. Right, all the searching and the grasping, all the things that we're trying to find to fill the void in our lives, they're temporary, but Jesus is eternal. And this is where we find that wholeness in Christ. Peace is faith in Jesus. Peace is trusting him. Romans 5, verse 1 through 4 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Why would we also glory in our tribulations? Because in him, we have peace. He says, in the world you'll have what? Tribulations. But in him you will have peace. That means if we stay in him, even if there are tribulations going around in our lives, we can still be at peace in Christ. When we start to lose our peace, it's because we stepped out of Christ and we stepped into the world. And now the tribulation becomes our God. The tribulation becomes what we focus on in the center of our lives. And it brings us distress. Christ says, no, get in me. In me, you will have peace. And you can even glory in your tribulations. This unlocks the other part of peace. You have the completeness. Next, you can have the soundness. To be sound just means healthy and untroubled. Man, doesn't that sound great? Who wants to live a life that is healthy and untroubled? Hallelujah. That sounds great. We'd be raising some hallelujahs in this place if you had no trouble and we're all healthy. Nobody wants to be troubled. When we take our rightful place in Christ through faith in him, we're able to be made whole. And when we're made whole, we can be healthy and untroubled. Where? In our soul, in our mind, our will, and our emotions. See, we're made complete in him. We have all we need. Spirit's made whole. But then we can be made sound in our mind, our will, our emotions, in our soul. When we take our rightful place in Christ. See, all the things causing us trouble in our soul, all the things that bother our mind, that bother our will, that bother our emotions, all those things, they're subject to Christ. They're subject to Christ if you belong to him. Do you believe that this morning? All those things. He is greater than all of it, and if we are in him, those things cannot cause us trouble or not cause us harm unless we allow them to do so. You know, that's one of the things that we do so often that we should never do, is we give authority to those things that cause us harm. We step out of Christ for a moment and we step into the world and we look with our natural eyes instead of our spiritual eyes. We believe the lies of the enemy and we buy into it and we get pulled in. And he says, no, in me you will have peace. In me you will be complete. In me you will have a healthy and untroubled mind and will and emotions. He's greater than it all. Amen? He's greater than it all. I think I've shared this in the past when I've preached about peace, but there was this lady around town, Delva, if you know her. If you would ask her how she was, she would always, 100% of the time, say, does anybody know? I'm peaceful. Always. 100% of the time. I've never heard her say anything else when you ask her how she is. I'm peaceful. I'm peaceful. You know what? I would believe that, not just from what she spoke, but you can feel it coming from her whenever you would talk to her. She was just a peaceful person. She's had a peaceful spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it radiated from her when she would speak. How do we get to that place? Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Some of you guys are already gone. You're like, wait a minute. I'm out. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, when we read a verse like this, how many of you guys knew this verse? At least you kind of roughly knew it. You kind of knew the main point of it. You at least knew, if you didn't know anything else, you knew the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, right? We speak that to people. We pray that over people, over ourselves. But how many of you have ever really tied together the fact that you have to let things go and give them to God first, right? First, You be anxious for nothing. I know some of you are like, well, I've tried that. I can't be anxious for nothing. I'm always anxious about something. Okay, well, we'll continue on in the verse. In everything, even in your anxiousness, pray. Right? Give it to God with thanksgiving. Right? Thanksgiving for what? I'm worked up about something. Well, you don't have to be thankful for that. Be thankful for a God that you can tell your troubles to, that you can tell your cares to, that he cares for you, and you make those things known to him, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What does that mean? Does that just mean it's peace that we don't understand? No, I don't think that's what he means. I think that he means that it won't make sense that you will have peace even in the midst of the struggle. Even in the midst of the tribulation, of the trial, of the trouble, you will still have the peace of God in the midst of it. That's what doesn't make sense. You can still have the peace of God, and it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. Why? Because it's in him that we have peace. Man, it doesn't make sense to have peace when we're dealing with stuff. But if we trust in the Lord, if we really give things over to him, listen, I'm the worst of the worst when I'm going through something difficult. My first thought is usually not to pray. I'm going to be honest with you. You guys know that even as a pastor, do you know that I'm a normal man? It's like I'm like Pinocchio, like I'm a real boy, right? Like, I still deal with struggles. I'm a man, if you can tell by the shirt. I'm not a real boy, I'm a real man, all right? See, my legs work. But when we think about these things, and it's like, why do I immediately go to my trouble? Why do I immediately go to somebody and complain about my trouble instead of going to the Lord and telling him what I'm going through, and laying these things out before, and making my requests known, being thankful that he's listening to me, and then receiving the peace of God that doesn't make sense in the midst of what I'm going through, and then it'll guard my hearts and my mind. Why don't I go and do that immediately? Because we step out of Christ and we step into the world. We start to look at things with our natural eyes. We start to believe what we see. You guys know that that's the worst thing for a Christian to do, is believe what we see. We're not supposed to believe what we see. Well, I mean, it's signs, wonders, and miracles, but I'm just saying, when we look at our troubles and the things in the natural, it's not about what you see. Faith is believing in something that you don't see. It's believing the word of truth. It's believing in what God says he has done and will do and wants to do in our lives, even if we see something else. We've got to take those things to the throne of grace. Peace that makes you complete, that makes you sound, right? This is the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, kind of peace that guards your heart, guards your mind through Christ, right? So if we want peace on earth, we trust in Jesus, because his peace comes personally to one person at a time, right? There is no peace on earth except what has been received from Christ Jesus. Amen? If you'd come up. So the only way for the world to receive peace is one person at a time, until the day when Jesus returns. I mean, you guys are longing for that day. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Listen, if Jesus comes back before Christmas morning, man, no regrets here. Come, Lord Jesus. I don't need any of that stuff that I'm, you know, any presents or anything that I'm going to get that day. You guys know that the same Jesus that was born in a manger, you guys know the same Jesus is the one that rose from the dead, giving us the victory over sin, over death, over the grave. You guys know that he sits today on a heavenly throne. And he sits today on a heavenly throne in victory and in power. I think we can lose sight of that, and we kind of think that Jesus is just up there just hanging out. Like, he did his job and now he's just sitting there just waiting for us to do ours, which might partly be true, actually. But you guys know that he sits there because he reigns in victory and power. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to physically get up and move and do anything. He has already won. He's already won. And he's given us the power. He's given us the access to the victory. And as he sits on his throne in heaven, that his Spirit dwells here within us, in the church, in his people. We're supposed to be the ones that bring peace. One person at a time. Lord, start with me. Let me have your peace in my life. If I have peace, I can be a peacemaker. You guys know there's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Peacekeeper just shuts their mouth and bottles things up and doesn't want to cause trouble. A peacemaker declares the truths of God. A peacemaker comes into the room and says, this is what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what we see with our eyes. It doesn't matter what the things are that are going on around us. If you want peace, you get it in Jesus. That's a peacemaker. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a peacekeeper. I don't care if we cause a ruckus. I don't care if we stir up a little bit of trouble from a worldly standpoint. Because this place is not our home. Amen? This place is not our home. Man, there's going to be a day when Jesus returns for his bride. He returns for his bride. There's going to be a time where our enemies will truly be 100% under our feet. No hold on us. They don't have a hold on us now unless we let them, but they won't have any effect on us. Bringing heaven to earth in perfect peace under the rule and the reign of Jesus. Would you guys stand with me today? Guys, peace on earth is simply this. From a biblical standpoint, if you want peace on earth, it's the peace of God in the sons and daughters of God. It's the peace of God in our hearts. It's the peace of God in our lives, that I don't have any worries or cares or troubles that have a hold on me, because I've given those to the Lord. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want to bring up a couple of things this morning. That first of all, listen, if you don't have peace with God, you can't have peace in any other area of your life. I'm talking, are you still an enemy of God? Are you still an opponent of God? Are you still a captive to sin? Have you yet to give your life to Christ this morning? If that's you, I'm going to open up the altars in a moment. I want you to come on down. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to choose that you will serve the Lord Jesus, and I promise you that if you will serve him and give your life to him and commit to him, I can promise you that if you remain in him, that you can have perfect peace. Do you need that peace with God today? Is your heart troubled? Do you find yourself in that place where you're concerned about your spiritual well-being? Maybe you need peace with yourself. See, there's born-again Christians, there's believers that are following the Lord who they don't have peace with themselves because while Christ has forgiven them, they've refused to let things go and forgive themselves. They still hold on to the pain and the suffering and the things of the past, but Paul told us that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. There's no guilt. If you've given it to the Lord, it's time to forgive yourself today to have peace with you. And third, if you've got peace with God and if you have peace within yourself, maybe you're in that camp that you need peace with others. Maybe there's something you need to come and lay down here at the altar this morning, and then you need to handle some business. You need to talk to somebody. You need to come to peace. You need to forgive. You need to lay down your grudge and your feelings toward another person for something they did that they may not even be aware of. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, Father, we have nothing to be afraid of this morning. Lord, we thank you that you give us peace. We thank you that the peace that we find in you is unlike the peace that we can find from anything this world has to offer. Father, this morning I lift up those who need peace with you. I pray that you give them the boldness, the confidence, the willingness to step forward, to receive that, to give their life to you fully, unconditionally, to surrender to you this morning. Father, those that need peace within themselves, God, give them the boldness to come down, to receive prayer, to lay those things down, those burdens that they carry that they're not meant to carry because you've already taken the weight. You've already brought forgiveness. You've already brought healing to their life if they would just receive it this morning. Father, those that need peace with others, I just pray for conviction. Conviction upon our hearts. Show us if there's an area, if there's something we're holding on to that we need to let go, something we need to handle, Lord, so that we can draw closer to you and operate in the perfect peace that you have for our lives. We receive all that you have for us today. We ask you to have your way as we worship. Do what you do. We surrender to you, and we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.